The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's parsha is Parshas Kerach. Vayikach Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Koz ben Levi v'dosen v'aviron ben Eliov v'ein ben Peles ben Ruvi. Vayakumen lifnei Moshe v'anoshim v'bnei Yisrael chamishim v'nosoim nesiei eide kriyei meid anshei shem. Vayikach Moshe v'arein v'yemru aleihem rav lachem ki kol eido kulem kedeshim v'beseichem Hashem v'madu atisnasu al kahal Hashem. Kerach, the son of Yitzhar, the boss of Levi, together with Dosan Vaviram, took himself, he gathered up 250 men from the Bnei Reuven, from the children of Reuven, and they gathered and went up against Moshe and Aaron. And they said that you have so much. The entire nation is sanctified. And the Almighty is amidst them. Why have you uplifted yourselves above all of the nation? Kerach, his great Avera, the great transgression that he committed, was that he caused Machlekes. He went and created a revolution, a dissension, against the leadership of Moshe and Aaron, in which he challenged the Kohuna. The fact that Moshe gave the Kohuna, the priesthood, to his brother Aaron. And also he challenged the fact that the Nesius, the prince of his particular family, the Bnei Kohos, this was given to Elitzofan. Elitzofan, who was a brother, who was a son of a younger brother, while Kerach himself was a son of an older brother. And he felt that some of these honors should have been given to him. And therefore he decided that he would cause Machlekes. And this is what it is said, Vayikach Kerach. The Torah begins the parsha by saying, "Vayikach Kerach, Kerach took," but it doesn't tell us what he took. Merely he took. So Rashi brings from the Medrash Tanchuma, "Lokach es atme lesad echot, v'yisnechlak mitecha edo le'era rakul." What did he take? He took himself. He took himself out of the klal of Israel. He took himself away from the unity of Israel. He set himself on the side in order that he could make this machlekes, make this quarrel. And that's what the Targum says, Vispoleg Kerach ben Yitzhor. Vispoleg is from the word plukta, which means dissension, a quarrel, a revolution. Generally, people think that when it comes to the qualities of machlekes and shalom, whether we should engage ourselves in quarrels, in dissension, in fragmentation, or whether we should live peacefully, people think this is something which is very good. It's very nice. It's from the good qualities. And we should try to pursue it. It's an inyan of a midah tova or a dvar musar. The emes is, the truth is, it's far greater than all of this. It's relevant to many, many gufei mitzvahs, many halachas in the Torah. There are many concrete, hardcore laws in the Torah, dinim, which relate to machlekes and shalom. And as we will see this evening, it's from, not from the good qualities, but from the greatest quality that a man can reach. Now when we speak of machlekes and shalom, this touches on every facet of man's life. For example, this relates itself to how people get along in commerce, in the marketplace, in the business world, in the professional world. It relates itself to society, to the social world, how people get along with each other socially. It relates itself in the world of Torah, how people who are involved in Torah, yeshivas, so forth, how they conduct themselves with each other. It relates itself to the family unit, Bein Ish L'Ishtoi, a man and his wife, how they conduct themselves to each other, or to one's family, the relationship of a person to his father, the relationship of a person to his mother, to his grandfather, to his grandmother, to his brothers, his sisters, to his children. It relates itself communally, how the community lives together. Communal undertakings, communal projects, communal organizations, the Chayei HaTzibur, the Chayei HaKohol. And it relates itself to nations, how nations live with each other. If nations cannot deal with each other, with shalom, pursue peace, then you have war, then you have melchoma. So this is a concept, this is a quality which can affect every level of man's life. Now, right from the beginning of the parsha, we can see just how tragic a quality this is of machlekes, of dissension. The fact that it states Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohath ben Levi. Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Now actually, if we're tracing his ancestry, it does not stop there. Levi was the son of Yaakov, the son of Jacob. So the main ancestry should be traced then, either we should merely say Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar, Korach the son of Yitzhar, or if we're tracing his ancestry, we should go all the way to Yaakov, to Jacob. That's the main ancestry. There's a reason why Yaakov is not mentioned here. Rashi brings from the Medrash, Lehisker ben Yaakov shebikesh rachamim al atzmai. Yaakov pleaded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in this parsha his name should be left out. Where did he do this? Shneamar hu b'keholom al teichat kvedi. That in their congregations, do not mention my honor. I don't want my name mentioned here. This is what Yaakov asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's a kehillah of machlekes. It's a community of quarrel. And don't write my name there. In another place, Korach's family is related to Yaakov. And that Rashi brings in Divrei Hayomim, Ben Eviosef, Ben Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohath, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael. That's speaking of the Beis Hamikdash, of the Duchen. The Beis Hamikdash was the place where they were united, where there was peace. So therefore Yaakov said, there my name can be. Now we don't find many places. The fact is, I don't know of any other precedent. But perhaps there are. But it's rare, if there is, that Yaakov Avinu asked that his name be taken out of the Sefer Torah. Here his name should have been written. Should have stated, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohath, Ben Levi, Ben Yaakov. And Yaakov said, Ubikeholom al teichat kvedi. Ubikeholom al teichat kvedi. I don't want my name there. So it's a great rarity that Yaakov should ask that his name be taken out. And he didn't ask by all of the other averus, all of the other transgressions that Klal Yisrael committed. He didn't ask that. Here he did. So from here we see that as far as Yaakov was concerned, he wanted nothing to do with Machlekes. He felt that was worse than everything else, and he does not want his name mentioned. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud, Gemara brings Vayokom Meisha Vayelech al Dosen Vaviro. Meisha got up and he went to see Dosen Vaviro. After Dosen Vaviro and Kerach, these were the two henchmen with Kerach. They came to challenge the authority of Meisha. And they came to make this machlekes. Meisha got up and he went out to see them. Why did he do this? Omer is Lokish, Mikan Shein Machzikin Vamachlekes. The Shlokish says, from here we can learn that one is not allowed to allow a quarrel to exist, to continue. One is obligated to do everything in his power to break a machlekes, to stop a machlekes, not allow it to continue. And this we learn from the fact that Meisha got up and he went to Dosan Baviram to try to cool off the quarrel. Domarav kala machzik be machlekes eva belav. Rav said that whoever is machzik in the machlekes allows the machlekes to continue, transgresses a negative commandment in the Torah. Shenema veloya kekerach uker adosei. Just a little later in our parsha, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, after he punished Kerach and his people by the earth swallowing them up, and everyone else that was with them were punished. So in Yud Zayin, in Kerach Parshas Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hey, it states, this should be a zikaron l'bnei Yisrael, a remembrance to the Bnei Yisrael, that you shall not be like Kerach and his congregation. What does it mean it should be a remembrance that you shall not be? That you shall not cause machlekes like Kerach v'adosei. Therefore, Rav said that whoever is machzik v'machlekes is eva alav, he transgresses a negative commandment. This is a negative commandment. This is not some divrei agoda. This is not musar. Seleis aseh shebeteirah. The Chofetz Chaim, Zochein l'vroch, in his sefer Chofetz Chaim, in listing the various mitzvahs that one can transgress when he speaks Loshon Hara. So in the Minyan Halavin, in his psycho, when he counts the negative commandments, Lav Yud Beis, the 12th negative commandment that he counts, is this commandment. Of Lo Yeh Kekerech Kadose, where he says that if by speaking Loshon Hara, by slandering another person, you cause machlekes, you have transgressed a negative commandment in the Torah of causing machlekes, of causing a quarrel. Then he brings from the Smag, Leisa Sekuf Nun Zayin, and from Rabbeinu Yena, Maimer Nun Zayin, where he writes, Mashma Midivrehem, Shilav Gomer. It's Mashma from the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs HaGodl, and from Rabbeinu Yena, these were Rishenim, that this is a Lav Godl, Gomer, that this is a Leisa Seh like any other negative commandment. That means the same as Treifus and Avedis. If a person eats something that's not kosher, he transgresses a negative commandment. If a person makes machlekes, he also transgresses a negative commandment. Or, if a person doesn't put on tefillin, it's a terrible thing. He has failed to fulfill a positive commandment. But the Gemara tells us that transgressing a negative commandment is more hamor, is more severe than failing to fulfill a positive commandment. So this would mean that if someone makes machlekes, this is worse than failing to put on tefillin or failing to daven. So this is a negative commandment, a leisa seishim b'teira, for someone who makes machlekes. Then from this Gemara, we learn another point. Not only is one not allowed to make machlekes, but one is obligated to do everything in his power in order to see that the machlekes does not continue. Because what took place here, that Meisha went out to Dosan Vaviro, states as follows. When Kerach came with his people and started to challenge the authority of Meisha, states in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishlach Meisha Likrei Ledosan Laviron B'nei Eliov, Meisha sent a messenger. The Gemara in Meit Kutn says it was a Shliach Bezdin. From this parsha learns out many halachos of a Shliach Bezdin, that how Bezdin has to conduct itself when it's dealing with a litigant. So Vayishlach Meisha Likrei Ledosan Laviron B'nei Eliov, Meisha sent a messenger, an agent of the court, of his court, to go tell Dosan Vaviro to come and sit down and we'll speak things over and maybe we can avert this crisis. Vayemru, and they told the messenger, Leinale. They said, we are not coming. Then, not only did they refuse to heed the summons, which itself is an Aveira, the Gemara brings, to refuse to heed the summons of the court, but also it says they were pokar b'shluchei bedino. They insulted the agent of the court, the agent of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said, Hamad ki elisonu me'erez zovaz kolav udvash la'miseinu b'midbor ki shistoreo leinu gam istoreo. Not only have you not taken us into the land of milk and honey, which we were promised, but you took us to die in the desert, and also now you want to make yourself a ruler over us. Af le'al eretz zovas kolavud vash haviyosonu vatitem lanu nachle sode v'chorem ha'ene ha'anoshim ha'hem tenake le'inale. The Shliach Bezdin, the agent of the court, came back to Meisha's court, which was the Supreme Court of Klal Yisrael, and he reported, he said, they said as follows. They said, not only have you not brought us into a land of milk and honey, and also you have not given us the inheritance of fields and vineyards as you promised, but you left us here in the desert to die. Even if you will take out the eyes of these people, we will not go up. This was the message that they told Mesh, they told the agent to take back to Meisha Rabbeinu. Now, this was the prime insult. The court sends its official agent to give a summons to the people to come and we'll talk this over. And they flatly refuse and they insult him also. And Meisha became very angry. And he wasn't angry so much because of his personal honor. Rashi says, Nitztare. He had great tsar, he had great suffering from this, that Klal Yisrael, Jews, should act this way. Then it states, Vayokom Meisha, Posuk Kofei. Vayokom Meisha, Vayelech El Dosan Vaviro. Meisha got up after he spoke to Hashem, and Hashem said what to do, and everyone should come, and they should come with their incense, and we'll see whoever's incense will be accepted. They will be the true Kahanim, and the others will be destroyed. After all of this, it states in Posuk Kofei, Vayokom Meisha, Vayelech El Dosan Vaviro. Meisha got up, he went out of the court, he went out of the machne, of his camp where he stayed, and he started to go over to the camp of Dothan Vaviram. And when he went, then all of the elders followed him. Now what did he do that for? So on this pasuk, Rashi brings from the Medrash, he thought, if I'll go myself, I sent an agent. No, they told the agent what they had on their mind. So Maisha thought, if I'll go myself, I myself, Maisha was the king. He was the Chochom, he was the wisest of Klal Yisrael. If I'll go myself, Ksova Shiyusul upon him. So maybe this will change them. They'll listen to me. And I'll avert this entire crisis and tragedy which eventually came out from here. Velo also, but they didn't do. So the Gemara brings from here on this posuk. It states, the fact that Meisha got up and was willing to go himself to Dosan Baviram, which he did, we see how far a person must go in order to break a machlekes, in order to cause it not to continue. And Rashi in Sanhedrin says, he was willing to forfeit his entire honor, Meisha Rabbeinu, and to go and to cause the machlekes to stop. So here's another halacha we learn from here. Not only is one not allowed to cause machlekes, but we see how far one is obligated to go to break the machlekes, levatel les machlekes, to terminate the machlekes. Even we see by Meisha Rabbeinu, after they refused to listen to the summons, and after they insulted the agent of the court, and then through this they insulted Meisha Rabbeinu and his entire court, still then he went himself to see if he could cause the machlekes to terminate. On this point, we'll speak a little more a little later. There's another halacha that we learn in regards to Sholem. The Gemara in Masechta Yevamos Daf Samachei Amud Beis. Gemara states, Daf Samachei Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Va'omer Rabloi Mishum Rablezer Ber Pshimon." Rabloi said in the name of Rablezer Ber Pshimon, "Mute Lei Leodem Leshanes Bidvar Hasholem." A man is permitted to lie if it's for the sake of peace. Now, by Jews, lying is not something which is to be taken lightly. By all people, lying should not be something which is should be taken lightly. But especially by Jews. The Gemara says, Sheidish Yisrael Ayase Avla. The Klal Yisrael, they don't say a lie. When they give a word, it's a word. You don't need it in writing. This is how a Jew is supposed to act. If he says a word, it's a word. And the Gemara brings that if a Jew gives his word, but he didn't put it in writing, didn't finalize it, and now he wants to back out of his word, Mutar Likreis Rosho. You're allowed to call that man a Rosho, an evil person. Because a Jew's word is as good as gold. It's supposed to be as good as gold. And a Jew must be specially cognizant that everything that he says is true. Because we're Jews of Torah. And the Torah is Teras Emes. The Torah is the truth of the world. It's called Teras Emes. And states, Chaisoma Yishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the emblem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every king has an emblem. What is the emblem of the Almighty? He has a big emblem which is written Emes, truth. This is the emblem of the Almighty. So if we are supposed to represent the Almighty, so how is it possible that we should not be people of truth? Therefore, a lie is something to be taken very seriously when it comes to a Jew. Still, the Gemara says, Rebbe Loi said, "Lutelei la'odem l'shanais b'dvar hasholot." If it comes for the sake of peace, you're allowed to say a lie. If you're going to say a truth that's going to cause a machlekes, better say a lie. How do we know such a thing? How could you say such a thing? So the Bloy says, because it's explicit in the Torah. By Yosef, when Yosef's brothers died, when Yosef's father died, when Yaakov died, his brothers became worried. Because really, Yosef should have hated his brothers. Should have hated them with a passion. Because they tried to kill him. They tried to murder him. They sold him into slavery. But Yosef was a great tzaddik. Yosef a tzaddik. The righteous one. And he completely forgave them. But the brothers did not realize this. They weren't sure if really he completely forgave them. They thought perhaps that it was the influence of their father Yaakov that this is why Yosef was acting so good to them. After they came down to Egypt, Yosef took care of them. Therefore, when the father died, they became very alarmed. The father's dead now. Yosef is the almighty king of Egypt. What will he do to us? So they came and they said, Avichot Sivo, that your father has commanded before he died that you should always be good to us. Even though the father never commanded. The father didn't have to command because the father knew Yosef would be good. So if the father never commanded, what right did they have to say the father commanded? So from here we see that Lamar HaSholem, for the sake of peace, is mutter l'shamesh. One is allowed to say a lie. But Reb Nosson comes along and he says, no. He says, I disagree with you. You say mutter l'shamesh. One is allowed. He says, I say mitzvah l'shamesh. Not that just one is allowed to lie for the sake of peace. This means one is allowed. This means it's a reshus. It's optional. You want to lie, you can. You want to tell the truth, you can tell the truth. In that case, many people might feel the truth is better. The truth must be said, even if there'll be machlekes. I say mitzvah l'shamis. That it's a mitzvah to lie. It's not optional. It's a greater mitzvah to lie than to tell the truth if with your words you're going to cause machlekes. And this is how we paskin, mitzvah l'shamis. And it's a mitzvah. In other words, a person shouldn't be a tzaddik. If it comes, he's got a situation. And he can either lie and save a whole machlekes. He might think, no, I'll be a better tzaddik. The truth must be said. That's not righteousness. The righteousness is to lie. Now, where do we see this from? Because we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself advised Shmuel to say a lie in order to stop a machlekes. Where? In Shmuel. In Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes Zayin. Posuk Beis, Posuk Aleph, Posuk Beis. Vayema Hashem El Shmuel. Hashem said to Shmuel, Ab Mosai Atom is Abel El Shaul. Vani Ma'asti Mimlech Al Yisrael. For how long are you going to mourn over Shaul, over King Saul? And I have disgraced him. I have lost my taste for him, that he should be the king of Israel. Malei Kanech Hoshemen. Go take your horn and fill it with oil. And I will send you to Yishai, Beisalachmi, Kodiisi, Bavon of Limelech. Go to the house of Yishai, and there I will show you one of his sons and anoint him to be the king. And he was referring to David HaMelech, King David. He says, how can I do that? If I go, I will meet Shaul. And Shaul will ask me where I'm going. And if I'll tell him that I'm going to the house of Yishai to look for another king, there'll be a whole machlekes. be a whole machlekes. And I cannot get there without Shaul seeing me. So how can I do such a thing? This is what Shmuel asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll give you simple advice. Ve'im Hashem egles boker tikach biyodecho ve'amate lizbeach l'Hashem bosi. Take an egles bosi. Take a calf in your hand, and when Shaul will ask you, where are you going? You tell him you're going to make a sacrifice. You're coming to make a sacrifice to Hashem. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel to lie to Shaul. Lie to him in order that there shouldn't be a machlekes. Now, if it was just a case of being optional, sometimes this is better, sometimes that's better. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we saw that he chose to lie in order that there shouldn't be, in order that there should not be machlekes. So from here, he brings a proof. Reb Nosson, that it's a mitzvah. That if a person is confronted with a situation, that he has to say something to someone, and if you'll tell him the truth, a machlekes can come out from that. Then it's not that it's optional, but it's a greater mitzvah to say a lie than to say the truth. And this was the advice HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Shmuel. Then the Gemara goes one step further. The Bei Rebbe Shmuel Tano, God LaShalom Shaf HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hushina. He said, you don't have to bring me a source where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave advice for Shmuel to lie. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself lied. I'll bring you a source where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty himself, even though Chosomei Emes, even though he is the ultimate truth, he himself lied for the sake of the peace. Where was this? Mara brings the Mikor Ksiv Adeni Zokin, the Besaik Ksiv Anizokanti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Sarah. She heard from the angels. The three angels visited Avraham. And Sarah heard that she was going to have a child. Tzochako, she left. She says, How is it possible for me to have a child? Badoni Zokin. And my Lord, my husband is old. This is what she said. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to ask Abraham, Loma Tzochako. Why is Sora laughing? Why is she scoffing? Hayipole me Hashem Dovora. Is there something which is too great for me to do? Of course I can give her a child. But then Kadosh Baruch Hu thought that if I'll tell Abraham, why is she mocking? And he's going to want to know what she said. If I'll say that she said, Vadoni Zokin, that my husband is too old, Avram is liable to become a little upset. It's an insult. She insulted him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vani Zokanti. Why is Sora laughing? Why is she mocking? Why did she say she's too old to have a child? Is anything impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But she didn't say she's too old to have a child. She said Avraham is too old. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed it. So he said, you don't have to go and bring sources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu advised Shmuel to lie. I'll show you where HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself lied. In order that there shouldn't be the feriblech, there shouldn't be ketot. A disagreement, an argument between a man and wife. So this is another halacha we learn. That even though the midah of emes, of truth, is so great, but the midah of shalom is greater. And then Gemara brings that the shalom is neged the emes. And therefore, a person, it's greater for a person to lie than to tell the truth if by what he's saying he's going to cause a machlekes. Unless it's justified. See, unless it's in such a situation what the Torah requires from him. But otherwise, it's greater for him to lie than having caused the machlekes. We learn yet another halacha in regards to machlekes in peace. The Gemara brings also in the Gemara Yevamos, it's a Mishnah, and Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis. Mitzvus Chalitza. If a man dies, Chalila, heaven forbid, a man dies and he leaves his wife with no children, and he leaves a brother-in-law. So then there's a parish in the Torah that the brother-in-law is obligated to take this woman as a wife, but he also has the option where he can give her a Chalitza. He can free her from this commitment. The mitzvah is to take her as a wife, that's called Yibum, but he's given the option that he can free her and give her a chalitza. That's a certain ceremony that will set her free. Bahu b'yavim to the bezdin. So the Mishnah is telling us how's mitzvah is chalitza. What happens? Bahu b'yavim to the bezdin. He and she comes to the bezdin. Behein meisin lei eitzah haigenes lei. And they give him good counsel. Shenemar v'koru lei ziknei iroi v'dibro elov. In the parish of Yevamos, and this is learned from Apostle Kinitor, in the parish of Yevamos, which is at the end of Kisetse, it states that if this takes place, and now there's the question, should he take her as a wife or should he give her chalitza? So it states in Posuches, at the end of Kisetze, Dvonim Chofei, Posuches, Mekorolei Ziknei Irei V'Dibrei Elov. The elders of the city, of the Bezdin, they called to him. And they speak to him. Now the question is, what are they speaking to him about? He's coming there either to take her as a wife or to free her. So what did the Torah say? They call to him, and they speak to him. What are they talking about? It's a simple situation. Either he decides he wants her as a wife, or he decides he doesn't want her, and he gives her chalitza. What's the Vidibra Elov that they should speak to him? What should they speak to him about? So the Mishnah learns from here that it's an obligation upon them to be misin lai eitzah haigenes lai. It's their obligation to advise him whether he should take her as a wife or whether he should give her a chalitza. That's the Dibra Elov. What kind of advice? So Rashi brings, if they see that it's a good shidduch, that he and she are well matched, then they advise him to marry. If they see it's not a good shidduch, he's very young and she's old, or he's very old and she's young, or for some other reason they see that they're not compatible, so they tell him, go look for someone that's more like you, that's more compatible, and don't bring strife into your house. And that's the Dibru Elov, that they should speak to him. They give him good advice whether to marry, whether not. This halacha is brought in the Rambam. In Perek Dalet of Hilchos Yibum. mitzvah chalitza? What is the mitzvah chalitza? Hayavoma holeches achar hayavom b'mokem shusham b'ol dayonim. The yavoma, she goes together with him. They go to the judges. They call him and they call him. V'naisn le'etza hayganes le'velo. And they give him good counsel that's good for him and for her. If they see that it's a good match, then they say, then they advise him to take her as a wife. But if they see that it's better for them that he should give her chalitza, that they should become potter, free from each other, then, for example, she's very young and he's very old. Or he's the kain of who yelled. Or, for example, she's very old and he's very young. Then they advise him to give chalitza. And this also is the same halacha as paskin and shulchan aruch. In Avinu Ezer, Reshim and Kuf Samach Vov. Simon Kuf Samach Vov, the beginning of Simon Kuf Samach Vov, Machaber brings Nesn le Eitza Hagenis Lishtehem, that they must give them a good advice for both of them, im le Yabim Malachlets, whether they should get married or whether they should not get married. Now, the Gemara brings in Masechta Yevamos, Reis Loki says, Chalitza b'mokem yibum lav mitzvihi. That really it's not an option what he should do, whether he should marry her or whether he should give her a chalitza. Chalitza b'mokem yibum lav mitzvah. Where he can marry her, then chalitza is not considered a mitzvah at all. The mitzvah is to marry. This is what Reish Lakish says in Masechta Yevamos and is brought many times. The mitzvah is not to do one or the other. The mitzvah is to marry her. Except the Torah gave him the ability to free her. But the mitzvah is to marry her. And where he can marry her, then the only mitzvah is to marry her. Except he still has the right if he chooses to free her. But that's not a mitzvah. So we have a situation like this. How can the dayonim, how can the judges advise him not to marry but to give a chalitza? There'd be mevatel a mitzvah. They're desecrating the mitzvah's essay of Yibum, the positive commandment. Because there's not two mitzvahs, either to marry or to give her chalitza. The mitzvah is to marry. Except the Torah gave him also the right to free her. How can they advise her not to marry? So what do we see from here? Don't bring strife into your house. Take someone that you're better fit for. That the for the sake of shalom, a mitzvah's essay is nitcha. You have a right to not perform a positive commandment. Through the performance of this positive commandment, of taking her as a wife, you are going to bring katota, you're going to bring machlekes strife into your house. For the sake of shalom, you have the right to fail to perform the positive commandment. That's what we see from here. And there's a gro in Shulchan Aruch, which I wasn't able to find today. But I remember a gro in Shulchan Aruch, where he brings this yesod. He brings that for the sake of shalom, this takes precedence over the fulfillment of a mitzvah's essay, of a positive commandment. And he brings this mishnah as the source. This is his source. So there's another halacha. As a medrash, the medrash in Vayikra Rabba, Perek Tes, the Maral brings it in his Nesiv HaSholem, Perek Beis. Godl HaSholem, Shebechol HaBitzvis Ksiv Bohu Ki Sireh Ki Sivge Ki Yikra. By all mitzvahs, it states that if you happen to come by the mitzvah, for example, if you see a lost article, then you must return it. But you don't have to go looking for lost articles. If you see someone's animal straying, you have to help him, but you don't have to go looking. If you see a nest of birds, then there's the mitzvah of Shiluvah HaKan to send away the mother before you take the children. But you don't have to go looking for such a thing. If the mitzvah comes into your hands, you're obligated to fulfill it, but otherwise you're not. Bakei sholem v'rotfehu. But by the mitzvah of sholem, it says, bakei sholem v'rotfehu. You shall seek sholem, and you shall pursue it. Bakshehu b'mkeimcho v'rotfehu b'mokam acher. You shall seek it in your place, and you shall pursue it in another place. Peace is different than all other mitzvahs. All other mitzvahs, many mitzvahs. So, when they come into your hand, you have to fulfill it. When it comes to peace, bakei sholem v'rotfehu. You must pursue it. You must seek it. This is what we saw from Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't merely waiting for the peace to come his way. He was going to find a solution for it. And he was going to such an extent to willing to forfeit the all honor of the fact that he was the king and he was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Now from here we learn a principle that many people are not cognizant of. Sholem is something that's not going to come by itself. Bakei sholem v'rotfehu. If a person wants peace at any of the levels that we mentioned, peace in his work, peace in his family, peace in his community, he's going to have to work very hard for it. And he's going to have to seek it. He's going to have to chase it and pursue it. V'rotfehu. This is the only way he'll find it. If he thinks that he'll do nothing about it and he'll let it come his way, it'll never come his way. And the reason for this is because shalom is a very, very high level. It's something which is beyond this world. And when a person wants something which is beyond this world, he can wait all his life, it won't come to him. He's going to have to pursue it. The fact is, this world, the Maral brings, is mukhan l'machlekes. The world that we live in is prone to dissension and to strife. We see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the world, and he created Adam and Chava, immediately when they had their children, one killed another. This world is known as the Eilam HaChiluk. It's a world of strife. The Maila, the great attribute of Sholem, is something which is somewhat above this world. And therefore, if a person wants it, he's going to have to go after it. It will not come after him. That's why Shlomo HaMelech said, Bakei Sholem v'rotfehu. You want Sholem, then you're going to have to pursue it. Not like other mitzvahs that will come your way. You'll have to go after it. Many, many people are not aware of this. And they're wondering why all the time are they involved in so much machlekes. Because they're not pursuing peace. They're not going out of their way. A person has to go a great deal out of his way. Constantly. For sure. Otherwise, naturally, he will find himself in machlekes. If you look at the world, you'll see that the world was never at peace. There was never a time in history that there wasn't a revolution, that there wasn't a war, that there wasn't an overthrow. Not in one part of the world and another part of the world. That's the whole world. This is history. And this is at every level. of human relations. Now we find, to give us an idea of what this is, we find that by Machlekes, the word Ra is written. It's called Ra. Ra is the ultimate of evil. And by Sholom, it's called Simcha. We have a pasuk. A pasuk in Mishle Yud Beis. Mishle Yud Beis, pasuk Chof. It states, Mirum ablev chorshei ro ule yo'atzei sholom simcha. Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon said, you find cunningness and conspiracy in the hearts of those who plow for evil. This is referring to those who try to seed strife. Those who try to seed strife and machlekes. So he calls them Chorshera, people who plow evil. Just like if a person plows the land, so he prepares it for a seed. The same thing, these people plow the situation to prepare a machlekes. So he calls them Ra. But to those who give counsel for peace, they're trying to bring people together, there's simcha, there's rejoicing. So we see that the word Ra is written by Machlekes, and the word Simcha is written by Sholom. Now we see this also in a Medrash. Medrash Rabbah, that the converse of Ra is Tov. And we see that the word Tov is not written by Machlekes. In the Medrash Rabbah, Reish is Dalet Ches. Every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something during these first 7 days of Malacha, the 6 days of Malacha, it states Ki Tov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the creation, he said it was good. On the second day, he didn't say it was good. Loma Eng Si Basheni Ki Tov. Why in the second day isn't good written? Rabbi Yechanan Toni Lo B'Sheim Yehuda B'Rav Chalafto Shebei Nivra Gehenim. So the Gemara gives three reasons. One is because on the second day the Gehenim was created. So therefore it was not said Teiv. Rav Chanina Eimer Shebei Nivra Is Machlekes. Rav Chanina says because on that day Machlekes was created. Now what kind of machlekes? Where was the machlekes in the creation of the world? So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, on the second day, the first day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created water. But the water filled the entire atmosphere. On the second day, he said, let there be a rokia, a firmament, which will be mabdil bein mayim lemayim, which will divide between the mayim elyonim, the upper waters, and the lower waters. Now this was the machlekes. What kind of machlekes is this? So here we don't mean strife. We mean division. See, there was a division created. So the Medrash says, imachlekes shohu hi letikuni shaleilom, if a division, which is for the betterment of the world, still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't write the word Tov. Le Yishuvei Ein Bo Machlekes Shil Revuva Lachas Kam Vakam. So if it's a division that comes destructively, so how much more so that it's not Tov? So the second opinion is because there was division in the world, and on the division you cannot say Tov. Therefore the second day Tov was not written. The third opinion is, on the second day HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked with the water, but it was not completed. On the third day, when it was finished, then Tov was written twice. So three reasons. One is because Gehenna was created. Secondly, because a division was created. And thirdly, because the work was not completed on the second day. It was completed on the third. Therefore, the Tov was said on the third day, not on the second day. At any rate, we see that because division was created, so the word Tov was not written. The Tov and Ra, these are the two opposite words. Now, why is this? We find that when it came to creativity, when it came to something of creation, there the word Tov is written. Where do we see this? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, after each thing he created, he took stock, v'yar ki tov, and he said it was good. He created the light, v'yar Hashem es ha'or, he saw the light, he said ki tov, it was good. And this is how it was consistently. So we say, see on a creation, especially if it's a perfect creation that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is described by the word tov. Tov describes something which is perfect. We see the word Tov also by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe was born, so it says that they saw the child, Ki Tov, that he was good. Tov. He was perfect. The word Tov is also by Torah. Ki Lekach Tov Nosati Lochem. I have given you something which is Tov. Tov describes a creation, a positive creation, a reality that's perfect. And therefore, after the end of the entire 6 days, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw everything that he did and he said it was Tov. Now, perfection, positive perfection, creativity, reality, this brings rejoicing to a person. This brings simcha. As it states, Yismach Hashem b'masov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices from his acts of work. His acts of work are positive forces, positive creations. It brings rejoicing. That's why when a person sees something that's perfect, brings simcha, brings happiness to a person. And the reason for this, the Maral says, is because then the person is a bishleimus. He comes closer to perfection himself. And perfection and completion, this is something which is tov, and this brings a happiness to a person. In the converse, when something, when there's destruction, negative forces, forces which are negative to creativity, destructive forces, that brings sadness to a person. A person builds a beautiful building, brings simcha. If the building is chalila, burnt down, it's destroyed, it brings sadness. A person has something new, it brings simcha. If it's lost, brings sadness. A child is born, brings great simcha. A loss of life, this brings avelus, mourning. So we see that it's the human nature that a creative force, and especially if it's perfect, this is tov, and this brings simcha. A destructive force, a negative force, which destroys, this brings sadness. This is the opposite of tov. Therefore, it's ra. Now, division, even in the creation of the world, division was a negative force. Because you took something that was complete and you divided it into two incomplete entities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created the water. The water was complete. But then he divided the waters. Now, even though it was necessary, it was a negative force. Because you took the waters that were complete and perfect, and you divided them into two separate entities. And therefore the Medrash says the word Tov could not be written there. Because it was negative forces. This was division. Then the Medrash says, if this is the case by a division which is letzorech tikunei shalelam, which you need for the building of the world, so what about if it's a division, if it's a machlekes, which is for the destruction of the world? And then the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that's the same reason why. Another reason why the word Tov couldn't be written, because Gehenna was created on that day. What is Gehenna? So the sages tell us, is all Gehenna is the absence of creation. Gehenna is merely the absence of all creative forces. It's an abyss of emptiness, it's a vacuum. If Gehenna was created on that day, and it's the converse of creative forces, it's a vacuum of creative forces, so then the word Tov could not be written. And then the third opinion was that the malocha, the work which began on the second day, was not completed on the second day. It was only completed on the third day. So this was work which was incomplete. Incompletion is not perfect, it's opposite, it's contradictory to perfection. Perfection comes only when something is complete. If it was incomplete, so then the word Tov could not be written. These were the three reasons why Tov was not written. Now from here we see that the word Tov, or the expression of Simcha, rejoicing, this relates to something which is perfect and complete. And Shlomo HaMelech says, Lo atzei sholom simcha. Those who plant peace by others will have rejoicing. Now actually the word sholom comes from the word sholem, which means to be complete. And the machlekes, and those who cause machlekes, he says, he calls them ra. That's the opposite. The word machlekes comes from the word chelek. Chelek means a segment, a section, a fragment. This is what the word chelek means. Now shalom is when it's complete, and machlekes is when it's fragmentized. It's broken. People think that from machlekes you gain. You gain nothing from machlekes. Because machlekes, in essence, is destructive. Shalom, in essence, is creative. Because it's uniting fragments into one thing. Machlekes, in essence, is destructive. It's two things. Firstly, nations go to war. They gain what it took, generations and lives and money to build. They destroy in a matter of months. They gain. They destroyed. And the same thing, people in human relations. Secondly, did you ever realize all the efforts that go into making machlekes? Tremendous efforts go into machlekes. Tremendous emotions. Mentally, emotionally, physically. Now all of those efforts that were given to man, all of those energies that were given to man to create, first of all, he wastes them and he doesn't use them for creating. He's using them, he's spending them. He's not using them for creativity. That's the first thing. Secondly, he's using them to destroy. And he destroys himself. Destroys himself and others. So the Gemara says that the aggravation that a person gets from machlekes everything else, the sickness that comes from Achlikus. This is why the words Tev and Simcha is by Sholem, and the word Ra is by Machlekes. From here we can understand now why we said that Yaakov Avinu didn't want his name to be related to this parsha. Yaakov was the source of unity by Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says that all of Israel are achim zelezeh. They're all brothers to each other. Why? Because kulam b'nei Yaakov. Because they all came from Yaakov. Yaakov united all of Israel into one. Without Yaakov, then each one is an individual, only a fragment. With Yaakov, they're perfect, they're complete. That's what Yaakov stood for. He said, "Al teichat kfeidi." In this machlekes, where they're destroying the unity and the perfection, the completion of Klal Yisrael, then I don't want anything to do with it. And he said, "My name should not be here." From here also, we can understand what it means a machlekes bein ish leishtei, between a man and his wife. The Gemara tells us that a woman, she comes to perfect a man. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu called man Odom only after he created both man, male and female. That Misha Dorbala Isho, Nikrochosar, the Gemara says, someone who lives without a wife is not a complete man. He was complete only together with the woman that was given to him. So she is coming to make a complete unit from two fragments. The Gemara tells us that many times we see Shlema HaMelech and others refer to the Torah as an Isha. When they wanted to speak of the Torah, they gave us the example of a woman. Why? Because Torah comes to perfect man, and woman comes to perfect man. See, this was the analogy. Now, if she comes to make a sholem from both of them, what happens if there's machlekes? So then, the entire unity and the entire purpose of Ishvi Ishtoi is being destroyed. So this is why the Chazal tell us why it's so important that a person must go to great extremes to see that there is sholem, sholem bayis, sholem in one's house. And because of this level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Sholem. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Sholem. Because the ultimate unifying factor of the entire world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Sholem belongs to him. And this is why that since Sholem is such a great attribute, why it's so difficult to come by, especially in our world. Therefore, Baki Sholem Verotfehu. If a person wants Sholem, he's going to have to pursue it. Let me just conclude with the Rambam. We once quoted before, the Rambam brings at the end of Hilchas Kanaka. Torah also comes to unite and perfect Klal Yisrael. The Rambam brings end of Hilchos Chanukah. Shabbos also. Shabbos was created the last of the creation. And Shabbos was the unifying factor of all of creation. And it came to bring all of the creation together and perfect it. And every Shabbos when it comes, It perfects Klal Yisrael because it brings him an additional neshama. And therefore we see a specific purpose, a specific emphasis on Sholem on Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, if the Ner Shabbos, the lighting of the candles, which is for Sholem Bayis. So the Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, Hoye Lefonav Ner Beis V'Ner Chanukah. If a person had one candle, and it was Shabbos and it was Chanukah, should he save it for Shabbos or should he use it for Chanukah? Oh, Ner Beis V'Kiddush Hayayim. If a person had just enough money to buy either a candle or buy wine, what should he do? Should he buy wine with it or should he buy a candle for Shabbos? Ner Beis V'Kiddush. The candle comes first. Why? Because the ner for Shabbos, that's Sholem Beisoy. That represents the peace of his house. And Sholem always comes first. Sholem we must always give precedence to. Even before Hanukkah, even though that was for the purpose of Pirshumi Niso, of publicizing the miracle, and even before Kiddush Hayom. Sharei Hashem Nimcha Klasei Sholem Enishlish, that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself allowed his name to be erased in order to bring peace between man and wife. Godel HaSholem Shekol HaTeira Nitna Lasei Sholem Ba'elam. Sholem is so great that the entire Torah was given for that purpose, to bring peace in the world. Shenemar, as it states, Rochel Darchei Neyam V'chol Nesivosecho Sholem, that the ways of Torah are ways of pleasantness and all of her paths are peace. This was the purpose of the entire Torah, because the Torah came to perfect the world. It came to unite the world. If there's not Sholem, this means that there's imperfection. There's fragments, there's fragmentization. And therefore, from here the Rambam says, you see that the great precedence that Sholem must always take. This gives us an insight tonight into what this means, Sholem and Machlekes. It's not merely something which is desirable, but it's from the basic foundations of Torah and Klal Yisrael, to the point where here Yaakov Avinu did not want to identify at all, even though he identified with everything else. And how much one must constantly pursue the Sholem of Bakei Sholem Verotfehu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.